pujaan hati.
Listener going to culinary tour to Banyuwangi, East Java, you should come to Wit-Witan Market, the traditional market which becomes one of favorite places in Banyuwangi, is located at Alas Malang Village, Singojuru Sub District, Banyuwangi. The market opens every Sunday morning, starting from 6 until 10 a.m. local time. Under the shady tree, you can enjoy various traditional culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as Geseng Bangsong. Geseng Bangsong is a typical food of Wijenan Kidul Hamlet, Singolatren Village, Singojuru Sub-District. Geseng Bangsong is a special menu and rarely found, which is made from duck meat as its main ingredient and wadung yang leaf that adds a unique sour taste. Wadung tree is many found and growing wild at the village. Besides giving sour taste, wadung leaf is also used to remove fishy smell from duck meat. The duck must be the big one, so it is usually used male duck for cooking geseng bangso. Besides wudung yang leaf, this culinary is also cooked with other spices such as kaying, onion, and garlic. Geseng Bangsong has savory and spicy taste. Spicy taste mixed with sour taste certainly produce delicious food. In Banyuwangi, the food is usually served when Islamic events being conducted, such as the birth of Prophet Muhammad, Eid al-Fitr, and Eid Adha. But now, Geseng Bangsong can be found at Wit-Witan Market every Sunday. The price of the food is affordable, which is around 20,000 rupiah to 25,000 rupiah per portion. In addition to taste Geseng Bangsong, you can also enjoy other typical culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as rawon alas, sego cawu, as well as traditional snake, such as tiwul and gatot, which is made from cassava. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Purisa Fridella. Thank you for listening.
tangga tulis dua. Itu ku ada bersamamu saudara.
Beragam warna kita, ikutan selalu sama. Kau aku Indonesia, yang disatukan karena cinta.
Karena cinta Indonesia, jangan pernah terpecah belah. Walau kita berbeda, walau kita tak sama, tetaplah satu cinta, kita Indonesia sesungguhnya.
Hello, VOI listener. Today, we are going to have a special interview because the day of the Music Day of Indonesia is coming so close in our calendar, and celebrating our musicpreneurs on the World Music Day. We'll explore how can someone turn passion into business, because you might know about musicians, but you might not know about musicpreneur, and how to overcome the challenges and shape of the future of music of Indonesia. And right now, I'm here with Chandra Darusman, the chairman of the Anugerah Musik Indonesia Awards. Hello, how are you, sir?
Good afternoon. Fine, thank you. How about you?
I'm fine.
Can I call you Ray?
Yes, you can call me Ray.
Ray, how are you, Ray?
I'm good. Oh, yeah, sir.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. People know about musician, but not many people can make beats and make it into a business. And how is the first time you think about it, and how do you make it about the Anugerah Musik Indonesia?
Okay, thank you very much for the question and for inviting me to participate in this actually interesting program.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start by saying that I'm one of the founders of the AMI, Anugerah Musik Indonesia, mm-hmm. Foundation, which was established back in 28 years ago. I don't call myself a pure musicpreneur, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Because to my understanding, a musicpreneur consists of two words, music and entrepreneur, right?
Yes.
And entrepreneur is a person who takes the initiative, takes the risk, and provides all the resources by her or herself, himself, and in the field of music. So AMI actually is a foundation which provides awards to those musicians, having created their work very extraordinary, and they are elected, they're voted by the members to achieve the highest prize in music. So actually everything starts with a value proposal, or value proposition. If we talk about musicpreneur, like recording companies or those who have open streaming services and so forth, every initiative starts from value proposal, which he or she believes that it might be attractive by the market. So we started AMI 28 years ago, having the notion that the Indonesian market or Indonesian industry needs to have a proper independent music award system, and so that's where we are now still existing, despite of many other award being organized in Indonesia. But we are, I think, the most old, the oldest, 28 years now going on.
Okay, so speaking of the first music award of Indonesia, since the music industry is moving so fast, like there are many things that musicians can do and gain, like listeners and maybe some followers for them, does AMI actually follow the trend about the fast-moving growth of the music industry, especially since in this futuristic era?
Yes, I think you're right, because if we compare the first years and then move on to its 5th or 10th or 20th year, and now it's 28, AMI currently has about 62 categories, ranging from pop to dangdut to jazz to rock and so forth. There's so 62 categories. So in the initial years, we did not have so much categories. So this explains that the music industry itself is always dynamic, and AMI always try to follow what is trending, what is popular, and therefore each 2 or 3 years we add new categories so that we could give awards to those who have been very creative in an extraordinary way. So yes, AMI tries always to follow trend. And therefore, that's the main reason why AMI is now still existing.
Okay, so how important is actually the social media for like awarding the artists to win each category? Does social media matters for all the artists and also like the maintain of the AMI to grow in the future?
Well, I have to explain a little bit that AMI is a voting system award. So AMI has about 4,000 members, and we select the candidates in two phases, right? So the first 2,000 members, they elect which are the ones who can qualify for 5 nominees in each category, okay? And then after the first phase comes the final phase, which also is elected by 2,000 other members, okay? Surprisingly or unsurprisingly, the results of the awards nearly every year actually represents and reflects what is going on in the industry, in the streaming services and the social media. Of course, there are some discrepancies, but I would say more than 70% reflects what is happening in the social media and also in the digital streaming providers services. So, actually, AMI is still relevant till today.
Okay, Mr. Chandra, let's go back a little bit about music. For the categories, what are you most excited about in each AMI award? Isn't it like the pop music culture or the rock or maybe the instrumental or the orchestra of the categories that you are most excited about in AMI?
Yes, correct. There are three big categories, pop, rock, and dangdut. So these are the three big main categories that have so many candidates, so many entries, we call it. And In the initial phase, actually, there is, I forgot to mention, there is a group of specialists to ensure that each entry, which is about every year about 5,000 entries each mm-hmm. year, they make sure that these entries are properly entered into their respective categories. So it may happen that a person mistakenly put his work into a wrong category. So these specialists make ensure that they enter into the proper category. So going back to the question, usually it's the category of pop, dangdut, and rock are the highest entries that we have in AMI.
Okay. So speaking of AMI, I would like to ask, is it true that AMI is currently like doing expanding to the Japan music industry? Because from what I can see here, the Anugerah Musik Indonesia Award is exploring collaboration with international music award organizations and including those in Japan to elevate Indonesian music on the global stage. Is it true that the Indonesian AMI and the Japanese music award organization is collaborating and maybe like spread around the word of Indonesian music to the global level?
Yes, you're right. Actually, last year, a delegation from Japan arrived in Jakarta, mm-hmm. and they actually participated in the 27th Indonesian Music Awards, the AMI mm-hmm. Award, Anugerah AMI last year.
Oh.
So they approached us, and they had a good discussion. They actually invited us to collaborate and to form a what they call a Music Awards Japan. This is not only a national Japan award, but they are inviting 5 or 6 countries in Asia, mostly in ASEAN, which has the intention to expand the profile, the exposure of each country's works. So Indonesia will be one of the 5-6 countries participating in this Music Awards Japan. And the best of the Indonesian award last year will participate in the Music Awards Japan. But this is more a sort of a parade of extraordinary works, and I think it's a good expansion for music in Asia, not to rely too much on the Anglo-American market, but creating a market itself in Asia whereby the participants are Asian spectators.
Okay, so because Indonesian Music Award, like AMI and the Music Award Japan is collaborating, is there any chance that in the near future that Indonesia is accepting international artists for another separate category in AMI, so that like many artists from around the globe would like to share their songs to Indonesia, and many Indonesian would like to share their songs to get audience in the international stage, Mr. Chandra?
Well, actually, that's a very, very good idea. We haven't started anything like that, but we had this actually in mind, but a very initial concept, a very initial stage.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we'll see how this Music Award Japan evolves and see how Indonesian music as well as the other countries' exposure on this event will be accommodated, you see. But I think it is a good initiative from the Japanese side. We look forward. As to whether AMI is going to open itself to international repertoire, it's a very good idea and a possibility. But we have not taken steps in preparing so. But what we are actually interested, it's a related prospect, is to more expose our own provincial music, you see.
I see.
Various music from other provinces, other areas of Indonesia, to be actually exposed in the AMI Awards, you see, because there are a lot of music in the provinces that are very active, and we should also acknowledge them.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, is there like in AMI, like a traditional music category that is being sung by artists that can be made into a category, like traditional music from this can be awarded for each year in AMI, like that?
We have a certain category which is collaborative music, category, which is actually a very wide and flexible category. It can also accommodate those traditional songs. But we don't have actually a traditional category, because it's actually, we have to be careful, because we don't want to create competition between provinces, which is sensitive, I would say.
Okay.
We try to avoid that. But we would like also, of course, expose different kinds of music in the provinces, so that they can receive more exposure at the national level. See?
Okay. So I have two more questions. The first one, is there like music categories for like children music or maybe religious type of music that AMI is going to present in the near future?
Well, actually, among the 62 categories, more than 60 categories, we have a special category for, dedicated category for children's songs, also for religious related music. That has been going on for already some years, and there's always entries in those two categories, and it's sort of an acknowledgement that children's songs must be exposed. And also religious music is also being produced and being created, being written by those artists. So those two categories actually are being given their proper place in the 60 plus categories that AMI has.
Okay. Oh yeah, and the final question. I would like to ask about how do you, as a musicpreneur, connect the cultures globally, especially the ears of the listener, and make them knowledge us Indonesia as a well-known music that creates a well-known musicians? And also, what advice could you give to the other aspiring musicpreneurship if they are wanting to start, like the ones like AMI, or maybe collaborate and spread more awareness of Indonesian music to the world?
Well, that's a very fantastic question, and I think that is also the same aspiration of every country, right?
Yes.
Every music industry in all countries. But I'm very, very optimistic that Indonesia actually has a very good chance, a very good opportunity to excel in the music industry. Why I say that? It's because Indonesia has a very, very rich culture, very rich music genre in our country, as you know, right? And that also means to say that in each every person of Indonesian artist, we have big data in our own minds. I'm using the term of that every artist, every composer in Indonesia has a very big data in her, in his or brain, because we have a very many types of music in Indonesia. So the challenge is to create our own algorithm to make use of this big data in our minds. But currently, this big data is formed by the way we are brought up, the kinds of music that we listen to, the collaboration that we are doing in everyday lives. Okay? So we have a very huge musical capital in our minds to excel in the music industry. The challenge now is to how to present it, right? How to present it in the social media, in the jungle of digital music, you see, because digital music is a very, very, you know, big market. And perhaps you may know that every day there are 100,000 singles uploaded into DSPs around the world.
True.
So if you want to compete with 100,000 songs, you have to be unique, you have to be creative, and you have to be different from others. And that's why our musical capital as an Indonesian, we have a lot of opportunities to excel. The challenge is to be creative.
Okay. Thank you so much, Chandra, Mr. Chandra Darusman, for your answers and maybe some insights about the music industry in Indonesia and also the entrepreneurship for the people that are wanting to grow and spread music across the globe in from Indonesia to the world. So, boy listener, that was a special interview with Mr. Chandra Darusman, the chairman of the Anugerah Music Indonesia Awards, and thank you for celebrating Music Day with us. Musicpreneurs are shaping the industry and, of course, connecting cultures and inspiring change. Stay tuned and keep the music playing. And, of course, stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia for more special interviews like this.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. It's really interesting, Mr. Chandra, because gimana ya, semua musisi juga bisa ikut dan juga mengembangkan musik di Indonesia gitu.
Sangat-sangat bisa, memang luar biasa potensi kita ya.
Yeah. Okay.
Kasawami is a unique and typical food from Southeast Sulawesi, specifically in Buton, Muna, and Wakatobi areas. Kasawami is generally shaped like a tumpeng or cone and is yellowish white. Cassava, which is widely grown in the Sulawesi archipelago, is the main ingredient of kasawami. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then the grated cassava is put in a sack or cold to be compacted. This compaction is to remove water content by being crushed or pressed using a tool made of wood or large stones. Then leave it for 1 to 3 hours until the water is completely dry. The solid is pure white. Next, the solid is wrapped in thick or banana leaves and tied. The solid is called kagepe. To make kasawami, initially kagepe is kneaded by hand until it looks like flour. Then the ingredients are put into a very unique steaming cone. This tool is made from woven coconut leaves. To steam the kagepe, they use a pot made of clay similar to a jar. The cone filled with kagepe flour is put into the mouth of the pot. Then it is cooked with medium heat and medium volume of water in a pot for about 15 minutes. One kasawami is generally made with a diameter of 10 cm and a height of 10 cm and weighs approximately 500 to 700 grams. Usually, a person can spend 1 to 2 kasawamis. Kasawami is sometimes served as a substitute for rice because it is often served along with vegetables and side dishes of various processed fish, such as grilled fish, fried fish, and salted fish. Kasawami is the initial food in Buton's traditional events. Interestingly, kasawami is also often used as stocks for trips or souvenirs between fellow Buton residents. Kasawami can be eaten without side dishes, accompanied by a cup of hot tea in the afternoon. The distinctive taste of cassava and the sweet blend of tea will add to this culinary delight.
Padamu, tapi dariku itu yang terbaik. Kau bukan pilihan. Karena ku tak sedikitku, hasratku padamu terpakat. Aku mencintai dirimu hanya untuk status palsu tetap.
Mencintai dirimu hanya untuk
listener, as Gempol Pleret is one of the legendary solo culinary delights, because there are not many traders selling this culinary anymore. But you don't have to worry if you are already in Solo and want to taste this traditional culinary. Although it is a popular culinary delicacy in Solo, in certain places there are still traders selling this as Gempol Pleret, such as in the Gede Market, Lawayan Market, and in the Manahan Field. Some call as Gempol Pleret is beverage because of its refreshing presentation, but there are also those who call it food because it is filling when enjoyed. The basic ingredients of this typical beverage are rice flour and glutinous rice flour. To make as Gempol Pleret, we have to soak rice flour first. Then it is shaped into small balls like meatballs and then steamed. Therefore, some people call Gempol as rice meatball because it is round, made of rice, and its white color. According to the story, Gempol comes from the word jempol because it uses the fingers. Pleret is also made from rice flour, which is made into dough and then formed into thin sheets resembling wonton. Afterwards, it is also steamed until cooked. Finally, for presentation, in a medium-sized bowl, the Gempol Pleret is aided with coconut milk, which is made from thin coconut milk and sugar. You can add shaved ice or ice cubes that are broken into small pieces. As a variation, you can also add pieces of jackfruit or cream sticky rice tape. For one bowl of as Gempol Pleret, you only need to pay 5,000 rupiahs. It is quite affordable, isn't it?
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Tidak ada ku tersimpan hatimu.
if you visit Ambon, it's incomplete without tasting ikan asar galala, the most iconic culinary in Ambon, Maluku. It is called ikan asar galala because it has been known since ancient times that Galala village is a fish hunter. The basic ingredients of ikan asar are generally cakalang fish, yellowtail fish, or mackerel tuna fish, as long as the fish's texture is dense so that it is not brittle when smoked. Ikan asar is a smoked fish. This is smoked differently and uniquely. In general, the fish is smoked horizontally, but ikan asar is placed diagonally on the side of the embers that produce smoke to make the fish completely dry and fully cooked. The cooking process is quite simple. After cleaning the entrails, the fish is skewered with bamboo and ready to be smoked on the stove. The smoking takes about 4 until 5 hours and is done in a closed room so that the smoke soaks into the meat until it is completely cooked. Listener, ikan asar has an extraordinary taste because the smoked fish is savory and the aroma is so appetizing. Ikan asar is very appropriate to be enjoyed with warm rice and sambal colo-colo, a typical Maluku sauce made from shallots, chilies, basil, and key lime.
Berdegup kencang, kau buatku terbang melayang. Tiada ku sangka getaran ini ada saat jumpa yang pertama. Mataku tak dapat terlepas darimu, perhatikan setiap tingkahmu, yeah, yeah. Tertawa pada setiap candamu saat jumpa yang pertama. Terlepas darimu, perhatikan setiap tingkahmu, yeah, yeah. Tertawa pada setiap candamu saat jumpa yang pertama.
Here's the news. The Jakarta provincial government, in collaboration with regional state-owned enterprises, is increasing the number of buses for the second phase of the Free Homecoming 2025. This decision responds to the high public interest, as the initial quota was filled on the first day of registration. Details on the additional buses and participant quota will be announced after the verification of first phase registration is completed. The next news. The Jakarta provincial government plans to build three mitigation reliefs in Muara Karang, Cilincing, and Muara Baru following Idul Fitri, aiming to reduce the impact of tidal flooding in North Jakarta's coastal areas. This decision follows the recent tidal floods affecting regions such as Muara Angke, Muara Baru, Jalan R.E. Marta Dinata, Cilincing, and Marunda Pulo. Additionally, Jakarta is collaborating with the central government of the National Capital Integrated Coastal Development Program, which includes constructing a giant seawall to provide long-term protection against tidal surges. And that was the news.
We'll be right back.
listener going to culinary tour to Banyuwangi, East Java, you should come to Witan Market, the traditional market which becomes one of favorite places in Banyuwangi. Is located at Alas Malang Village, Singojuru Sub-District, Banyuwangi. The market opens every Sunday morning, starting from 6 until 10 a.m. local time. Under the shady tree, you can enjoy various traditional culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as Geseng Bangsong. Geseng Bangsong is a typical food of Wijenan Kidul Hamlet, Singolatren Village, Singojuru Sub-District. Geseng Bangsong is a special menu and rarely found, which is made from duck meat as its main ingredient and wadung yang leaf that adds a unique sour taste. Wadung tree is many found and growing.